Praise the Lord, message 102. The title of the message, Taking the Right Decision, Part 1. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for this time that you give us to study your word and to meditate on your goodness to us. I pray that the message will be clear to each and everyone who listen, and I pray that the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus. Lord, arrange the message in the way that you want it to be and put verses and statements on my lips so that everyone will understand what you want him to know and what you want him to do. I pray for a harvest of righteousness. I pray that those who listen get enlightened and will be well helped to take right and godly decision for your name to be glorified and to be lifted up in the life of your church and your people. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One of the things that we face and it is difficult is taking decision. Sometimes we want to escape this task, but there is no way to escape. Every day you wake up, ahead of you certain decision and steps and a plan you have to think about, you have to take a step and do something about it. But the Lord helping us, there are provision to us how to take these steps or these decisions in life. We have in our hands the Bible, the Word of God, that teach us the way of the Lord and teach us how to live our life and to Him. And that is what the psalmist say in Psalm 119. And verse 105, they say, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. So the word of God is a very big help for us to discern the truth, to know the truth, and to take the right decision that God wants us to take. We have the word of God, and we have also the gift of the prayer. As we pray, we ask the Lord to give us and direct us and give us wisdom how to take a certain decision, complicated sometimes this decision, the situation is difficult, but we have the gift of prayer, we have the Word of God. In addition, we have the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus say in the book of John chapter 14, and verse 18, he say, I will not leave you as orphan. I will come to you. Here, the Lord promised that he will send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, his work is the same work of Jesus when he was with his disciples. So here, the Lord say, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. We have the Holy Spirit. And also, in verse 26, John 14, 26, he say, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit will remind us, will teach us everything that the Lord had said to us, that the Lord has said in his word. So we have the Word of God, and we have also the gift of a prayer in the book of Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, he say, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. So here, when we call upon God, he answer us. Ask and you receive, knock, the door will be open, and seek the Lord and you will find him. For whoever who ask, receive. Whoever knock, the door will be open, and whoever seek will find. So here we have three things we have discussed now: the Word of God, the prayer, and the Holy Spirit. All this together help us to take the right decision. We will search more about how God provides for us good resources in order to take right decision. In the book of Exodus, chapter 18, there's a story when the father-in-law of Moses went to visit him. And while he was visiting him, he noticed the following things in the life of Moses. Exodus chapter 18 and verse 13 onward. The next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. Verse 14. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as a judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" So his father-in-law, he noticed that Moses' work was a judge. And he was telling him, "Why you do that alone?" Because he saw that there's a large number of people around him. In verse 15, Moses answered him, "Because the people came to me to seek God's will." So here, what was the job of Moses? The job of Moses is that to help the people, those who are seeking God's will. In verse 16, "Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." What he is telling here, Moses to his father-in-law, that when the people have a problem, dispute, they want to know God's will, they have a problem, they will bring the problem to me, and I will decide between them how to do it, how to solve it. Moses' rule here is to tell the people the will of God. How he tell them? By informing them of God's decrees and laws. So here we understand the rule of the church is to help the people to take the right decision. How we help them? By teaching them, informing them the word of God, God's decrees and God's laws and God's command. So one of the provision of God to us is the church. To the church, God give teachers, preachers, prophets, and as we give the word of God, as we have Bible study and teach, the people will get informed and equipped with the word of God, and as they apply the word of God in their life, they will know God's will, and big number of their problem will be solved. So the purpose of the Bible study is not only to know the word of God and that's all, just a knowledge, but to know God's will. Verse 17, Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good." Why he says it's not good? Not it is not good in content, but because Moses was alone. "You and these people who come to you," in verse 18, "will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." What he's telling to Moses, what you are doing is good, but you must be not alone to do that. Other people should do this work also for you, for the Lord, to help the people to take right decision and to know God's will. Verse 19, "Listen now to me and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people representative before God and bring their dispute to him." Verse 20, "Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who had dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Verse 22, have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. So what was the advice here? The advice to Moses that he need to teach all the people. So that's why we teach Bible study to everyone. As we evangelize those who receive Christ, we start to teach them. And among those who are willing to follow Christ, among those who are willing to abide with the Word of God, we choose them to be as leaders for groups of people, like elders, like pastors for the people, so that they will help us in teaching the others and help us also to help other people around them to take the right decision. And here, the role of the church. The role of the church to teach the people, to direct them about God's will, to teach them their duties and what are the things they need to perform, how to live. This is the responsibility of the church, to teach the people how to live using the word of God. God give his word. But not everyone is a teacher. Not everyone who reads the Bible can take out doctrine and apply. But there are people in the church God had ordained for them this gift. Those are responsible to teach. And that's here God's provision for us. God's provision for you. In taking the right decision, you have the Word of God, you have the Bible in your hand, you have the gift of prayer, you have the Holy Spirit. In addition, God put you in a church. God put a church with you to help you to take the right decision. Some people, they exclude the church when they are taking decision. That is not correct. That's not correct. God put a pastor, but God put an overseer in the church. The same work that Moses was doing is still going on. Small cases, you can decide. But difficult cases, difficult decision, you want to move from job to job. You want to move from country to country. You want to move from being single to get married. Yes, God will speak to you. God will direct you. But when God speaks, he will not only speak to you, but he will speak to the church also. The church should also confirm. What God speaks to you is his will, and that is a prophecy. But prophecy according to the Bible should be confirmed by the church, confirmed by the body of Christ that you are in. So here, why God did this arrangement? To guard us, to guide us not to take a wrong decision or individual division, or to take individual decision that is away from his will. God put us in a church, God put you in a church, and the value of the church here is to confirm to you what God has spoke to you, or to confirm to you that what you hear is not the voice of God. So we have here the Word of God. We have the voice of the Holy Spirit who guide us and lead us. We have the gift of prayer, and we have the church that God put us in to confirm or not to confirm to us what we want to do. Some people are not led by the Holy Spirit. Some people are still in the flesh, are still in the emotion, are still in their ego, and what they like and what they want, not God's will. The value of the church here is to teach and to correct and direct the people in the right path. So here, the church is a good provision of God in your life to take the right decision. We'll move to another Also, we'll move to another scripture that we will see another aspect when we are about to take decision. We'll move to Joshua chapter 9. And we know the story of the Gibeonite who came and deceived the people of God. Joshua chapter 9, I will read it from verse 3. However, when the people of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to Arus. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins cracked and mended. The men put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." So here they came, and in their intention to deceive, they put some false documents to deceive the people of God. They will put all the clothes, they brought all bread to deceive the people, to tell them that they came from far distance. Because God's command to them, if they are part of the inhabitant of the land, they have to be wiped out. So they know this. They know that Joshua will wipe them out. So they did their best to deceive. Verse 7, the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "But perhaps you live near us. How then can we make a treaty with you?" They doubted. Verse 8, "We are your servants," they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, "Who are you and where do you come from?" Verse 9, they answered, "Your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God, where we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon king of Heshbon and Og king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. And our elders and all those living in our country say to us, 'Take provisions for your journey, go and meet them and say to them, we are your servants, make a treaty with us. This bread of ours was won when we packed it at home on the day we left to come to you. But now see how dry and moldy it is. And these wineskins that we filled were new, but see how cracked they are. And our clothes and sandals are worn out by the very long journey.'" Verse 14, "The men of Israel sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord." Now here, we find that the people of God, they did not take an individual decision. The whole church were involved, Joshua and all the leaders and the Israelites. They took a decision that to make a treaty of peace. First, they sample their provision, they check them. Second, no one was taking decision alone. Joshua did not take the decision alone. He asked the council, the leaders. But what is missing here is the decision of the Lord. They did not inquire of God. Who is the head of the church? Christ. In any decision we should take, we should not exclude God or Christ. What we learn from here, that there are three main steps we need to take when we take decision. First, we check ourselves the situation. I ask, have you checked this? Have you seen the documents? Have you checked that by yourself? We must see what the people are saying. We have to verify by ourselves. We use our senses or we use our mind. We have to analyze. Second step, we ask advice from the church. The church is the right people, the church that God placed you in, are the right people that you need to take advice. And that is the duty of the church. That is the responsibility of the church. Whenever dispute, hard decision, the church is the right advisor. The third step, and that is where the church should refer the case to the Lord, the head of the church. Step 1, 2, and 3 must be taken carefully so that we'll avoid take a wrong decision and wrong steps. So here in Joshua 9, the church was not excluded, but God was excluded. And that's why they took a wrong decision in verse 15. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that they were neighbors living near them. So the Israelites set out, and on the third day came to their cities, Gibeon, Kephira, Beeroth, and Kiriath Jearim. But the Israelites did not attack them, because the leaders of the assembly had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. So here, we should not take decision without the approval of the Lord. Because without God's approval, there is no blessing. Yes, we need to check ourselves. We need to take advice from the church, the leaders. I need to be informed and my approval. Third, the final decision not belong to me or to you or to anyone else, but belong to the head of the church. That is Christ Jesus our Lord. In the New Testament, the same. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and let us read from verse 11. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. God gave spiritual gifts to certain people in the church, like He gave gift to Moses. He gave gift to the leader of the Israelites. What for these gifts? For what? What was the value of the gifts that God gave to Moses to teach? Verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Some they say this is only for mercy. No. Living our life to God in taking right decision, in knowing God's will and living it, this is the optimum God service that we offer to God. The value of these offices that God gives to the church in the New Testament is to build up the body of Christ. When we take a right decision, the body of Christ will be built up. We are the church. You are the church, you who listen. And in teaching you the will of God and the plan of God and what are the duty that you need to do and perform, you are being built up. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So here, the Word of God refers that The value of these offices that Christ gave is that we will reach maturity, attaining the full measure of the fullness of Christ. Christ here is the head of the church. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, he say, speaking about husband, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. So here, why the Lord gave these gifts to the church, to feed the church, to care for the body. Christ cared for his body. That is the church. Church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head for the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. So here, the spiritual gift is Christ's gift for his body, the church, to make it holy, to cleanse her, to present her as a radiant church, to be cleansed by the word of God. And as we receive the word of God, we are submitting as a church fully to the will of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, verse 22 and 23, it says, wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. So here, if we go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 11 to verse 13, we are the body of Christ. Who is the head of the church? Is not the pastor, is not me, is not me, Christ. So the ultimate decision, whatever decision you will take, it have first be approved by the Lord. The final approval of any decision is not the person himself, is not the one who have the problem, is not the pastor of the congregation, is not me, the overseer, but the head of the church, and that is Christ himself. That is the order of things we should not bypass. We are responsible to check the item, to see the problem, to think about pros and cons, use our mind to analyze. We get counsel from the church, because God give gifts to the church. Some gifts I have, some gifts other people have it. That's why the counsel of the church. That's why no one should take his own decision alone without the church also approve. Final decision will come from the Lord. The Lord, the head of the church, should approve whatever decision the church should take. And we know that God speaks through his word, and the Holy Spirit, when he will speak, he speaks what the word of God says. Why all these important steps we need not to overlook? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, say here, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemings. what mentioned here, the purpose of all this arrangement is that any member of the church will not be deceived by devil. You see here, by the cunning and the corruptness of men. Yes, it is devil behind, but devil will use people to deceive you. So here, your responsibility, in order for you to take right decision, in order for you to avoid taking wrong decision, you need to put yourself in the right arrangement. The right arrangement is the Word of God, being the Word of God, life of a prayer, life of fasting, so that you can hear the still voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't take your decision alone, refer it to the church, so that we can think with you, we can pray with you, we can lift up the situation to the head of the church for the final decision. So this all your individual responsibility in order for you to take a right decision. In the book of 2 Chronicle, chapter 18, King Jehoshaphat put himself in a wrong setup. Sometime you are not able to take a right decision because you put yourself with a wrong setup, with the friends, colleagues, neighbors, some connection away from the people of God. Some people, they take decision without the church that they are part of know about it, without taking the counsel from the church also. But they will rely on friends, neighbors, relatives, some contacts, some opinion from irresponsible people, and they found themselves fall into a trap. Let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Now Jehoshaphat had great wealth and honor, and he allied himself with Ahab by a marriage. And that is here the problem, to marry an unbeliever. Some years later, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. Ahab slaughtered many sheep and cattle for him and the people with him, and urged him to attack Ramoth-Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, asked Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead?" What he will say now? He already allied with him in marriage, and he slaughtered too much sheep and cattle for him. What he will tell him? No, he will get upset. Jehoshaphat replied, "I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will join you in the war." That is here when you put yourself with wrong contact and friends. They will use you and they will trouble you. "He who walk with the wise grow wise, but the companion of fools suffer harm." Verse 4, but Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel. What he said to him? He said to the king of Israel, "First seek the counsel of the Lord." He discerned that he is in a wrong track, this guy. But he cannot tell him wrong, because he already hand with hand. And that's here the problem. When you put yourself in connection with the friends and colleagues and fellowship with non-believers and commitment to them, they commit themselves to you, commit themselves to them, you find yourself part and parcel and you cannot escape. That is here the wrong setup. When you put yourself in the wrong setup, you will find yourself taking wrong decisions. Even you know you are wrong, you cannot go out because already you are in trap. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, 400 men, and asked them, "Shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" "Go," they answered, "for God will give it into the king's hand." When Joshua had asked him for a counsel of the Lord, he brought 400 false prophets. Who are those 400 false prophets? This is your neighbor, your relative, your friends, all the non-believer, they are very good in the worldly things. They are very good in giving wrong advice. They are very good in polishing and painting you. But that is not the counsel that the Lord wants you to take. Verse 6, but Jehoshaphat asked, is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? He knows. Jehoshaphat, he knows that he's in a wrong track, but he cannot escape. So he pleads, is there not a prophet of the Lord? But he's telling him, I think we are in a wrong company, but I am ashamed to offend you. Verse 7, the king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, there is still one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imla. What I have told him, there is somebody. I know he will tell the truth, but I hate him because he never agree with me. And that's here why you and people hide their problem from the church. Why they hide their problem from me? Because they know the decision ahead. It is wrong. Don't do it. That is not the will of God. And they will know that when they will come, I will not approve. The church will not approve because we go to the word of God. So what you do or what they will do, they go to friends, they go to people. They will say, okay, you can go ahead. There's no problem. Everyone is doing that. That is very good. And then problem will come. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, bring Micaiah, son of Imla. Dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor by the entrance to the gate of Samaria, with all the prophets prophesying before them. Now Zedekiah, son of Kenana, had made iron horns, and he declared, this is what the Lord says, with this you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed. All the other prophets were prophesying the same thing. Attack Ramoth Gilead and be victorious. They said, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. The messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, look, as one man, the other prophets are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably. What he's telling him, you just compromise. You just keep quiet. Just say, okay, no need to speak. And then after that, they will get upset. So here, when you put yourself with such kind of people who compromise, who want to please men, not to please God, be sure you will be doing and taking wrong decision and wrong steps. Verse 13, but Micaiah said, as surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what my God said. This is the people that we should put ourselves with. This is the people that we should open our problem and ask advice from them. When he arrived, the king asked him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? Attack and be victorious, he answered, for they will be given into your hand. The king said to him, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Even Ahab, he knows that is not what God wants to tell him. He knows that. Then Micaiah answered, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad? That's why. Why Ahab does not like this prophet? Because he will tell him the truth, and he does not like to listen to the truth. But that is the attitude that will bring death in your life if you have the same attitude of Ahab. When you don't like to be corrected, to be rebuked, to be admonished, to be advised, to be taught the right things, then be sure you will be fallen into and very big troubles and mishaps. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you that he never prophesied anything good but about me, but only bad?" Verse 18, Micaiah continued, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the hosts of heaven standing on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, into attacking Ramoth Gilead and going to his death there? One suggested this and another that. Finally, a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. By what means, the Lord asked, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. He said, you will succeed in enticing him, say the Lord, go and do it. So now the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster for you. The Lord can do that, yes, if you are not willing to listen to the truth. God will put a lying spirit in the mouth of your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, your colleagues, those who are compromising with you. They have a lying spirit. Who put it? God himself, because you don't like to listen to the truth. We know the story that Micaiah, if you continue to read, was slapped on his face because he spoke the truth. And that's why what the people will do when we advise them, they don't like. They will fight. They will leave the church. They will not give their tithes. Because we did not condone with their sin. We did not agree with their own plan. But finally we know that Jehoshaphat was about to be killed, but God saved him. Ahab was killed, and the army of Israel was scattered. All because they did not listen to the right advice from the right person, whom they know very well. He is speaking the truth. So hear the word of God in your hand. The message is for you. To take the right decision, you need to be in the right setup. Right now, you repent. Refrain from whatever you are planning. As you know, the will of God, stop right now. God does not want you to suffer. That's why you hear this very message now. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for the spirit of repentance in the life of your people, that they will refrain from taking any step. I pray for humility. They will humble down. They will not go with their own pride and their own will, but they will fear you and walk in the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that this timely message will reach your people, to stop those who are doing their own, and to direct the sheep so that they will be well blessed by you. Lord, the purpose of sending this message, I pray it shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the harvest that you desire in the life of your church and in the life of your people. O Lord, bless us, enlarge our territory. Let your hands be with us and keep us from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.